Then you're going.
We're going already?
You can always edit out.
They can edit out the first part. Okay.
Start.
All right, great. All right, good morning, everyone. Booker Tov. We welcome everyone. And the next year is beginning at 11:25, which is in 2 minutes. So everyone is, you're welcome to stay. We're welcome to make your way. Hi, Roseanne.
Make a note to put in the Torah tidbits for those who miss the classes, the OU library. What is it called? OU?
The videos, you mean?
Yeah. It didn't say, so I was...
That's a good idea, Thank you.
Anyway. And of course, nobody listens, but 4 classes in 1 day is a bit much.
Right.
Like Monday, Tuesday, nothing. Tuesday, they happen in 2 separate places, of course. 1 for the women and 1 for the men.
I know what you mean.
So you have 3 days of classes, 2 days of classes, and 4 hours is a lot.
All right, we'll give everyone another minute, but we do want to try to start on time. It's just about 11:25, or it is 11:25, so we'll... There, we'll turn this off. I may add this. Let's see if that works.
Why not?
You know what? Let me give you, I think there's one, hold on. I have an extra copy here. I have a copy. Okay.
Careful, this doesn't fall on the floor.
Thank you very much. Okay, that should be good. That's from the previous class. I'm maybe ask in the front. There we go. No, I think we got it now. Thank you. All right, my friends. Good. Want to wish everyone a good morning. Boker Tov. And we're going to get started. I'll just introduce myself, Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider, and I have the honor of being the editor of Torah Tidbits, and the honor of sharing with you, teaching, and learning together this year the wisdom, the Torah of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and it's a great honor to do that, especially here in Yerushalayim. And not far from where Rav Kook lived and where he taught and where he wrote many of the ideas and teachings that we're going to be learning together. And this morning we have the distinct honor to learn an area of Rav Kook, which is really quite exciting and very appropriate for this Elul, for Elul Zman, and that is his ideas around tshuva. Rav Kook wrote a book about tshuva called Orot HaTshuva, The Lights of Tshuva. And from the name of the book itself, we already have a sense of what the book is all about, and that is the lights of tshuva. And often when we think about tshuva, one of our first thoughts for many of us thinking about tshuva is the harshness of tshuva, the challenge around tshuva. We think about the days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Yamim Noraim, that these are awesome days and days for many of us. And if we think back to our childhood days where, It seemed like davening was endless, and all the time that we need to be in shul, and the heaviness of these days. They tell a story from the days of Eastern Europe, where they would say that during Elul, that even the fish in the pond, even the fish in the river, that they're shaking. They would look at the fish as they were swimming, and they would say that they're shaking as well because of the awesomeness of these days. Rav Kook came along, and he wrote a book and began a conversation around tshuva, where he felt that this generation needs to hear a different message around tshuva. And in the introduction to his book, he raises the question to himself, and he says, should I be writing a book about tshuva, about repentance? There are so many great rabbis who have already written, the greatest of rabbis. Who am I, and what do I have to add to this discussion? But he says, with this milchama, with this like inner turmoil or challenge that he faces, he says that I believe that I do have something very, very special to add and to talk about regarding tshuva. And one of the major themes, and we're going to be looking this morning, we're going to take 8, 9, 10 different, really just relatively short ideas, and with that to explore and to highlight together the philosophy, the thought of Rav Kook around tshuva. But one of the major themes that we find in his writings, and we'll see that this morning, is the joy that one should feel, the simcha that one should feel as they are engaging in tshuva, when we're thinking about tshuva. The days that we're in right now, this month of Elul, as we're moving closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to think about and to approach it, that we sense the joy, the happiness, the potential that there is in the experience of tshuva. And then again, just in a nutshell, in a word, Rav Kook is teaching that we should be thinking about the joy around tshuva. And let's take a look at that. Let's think about that idea. And Bezrat Hashem, also not just to think about it in a theoretical, but for this to be an inspiration for all of us. It should be uplifting to make the days ahead, especially these coming weeks, and Rosh Hashanah, our Rosh Hashanah this year, our Yom Kippur this year, to take these teachings of Rav Kook and let them be an inspiration for us. So as I said, what I'd like to look at today is to highlight, we'll say 8 to 10 pieces from Rav Kook, relatively short. We'll keep things rolling, and to see some of the language of Rav Kook as well. When I study Rav Kook and when we come together as a class to study, I think it's always important not just to hear a teacher speak about Rav Kook or to share the teachings, but to see the writing of Rav Kook, to see his actual words. And that gives us all the opportunity to analyze and to see what Rav Kook is trying to convey, what he's expressing. So let's begin. Let's begin. You have a source sheet. Hopefully everybody has a source sheet. And I do see a few hands that have not received the source sheet. I see many hands that have not received the source sheet. Okay. If you can share, I'm sorry, I'm not sure why there aren't enough copies. They did not make enough copies. Okay. The top of the page is say Tshuva Pitamit and Tshuva Hadragit. So you know what? We're not going to do that much reading inside. We'll do less reading inside, being that we don't have that many copies. And I apologize. I'm not sure why they didn't make enough copies. But we're in a new location, and we're learning. We're learning our way here. So that's the first mitzvah of tshuva, to be forgiving of others. So hopefully you'll be forgiving of me and the OU. But we're going to try to do better. That's tshuva. We're going to do better next week. Okay. So the first issue that Rav Kook speaks about is the time span of tshuva. The time span of tshuva. Now, what does he mean by that? He says that there's tshuva, what he calls, and I'm going to read the opening line, legabe meshetz mana. When it comes to the time span of tshuva, tshuva mitchalaket l'shnei chalakim. There are two ways to think about tshuva in terms of time. Tshuva pitamit, there's a sudden tshuva, u'tshuva hadragit. And then there's tshuva, which is incremental tshuva. So what is that? What is Rav Kook referring to? Rav Kook is referring to two different experiences of tshuva. One experience of tshuva is that a person suddenly feels that they have to make a difference in their life, and they're ready to make a radical difference. There's something that they read, some inspiration, something that they hear, maybe it's an experience in life, and with that, the person says, I'm ready to make a major change in my life. I'm ready to turn things around. I'm ready to do something that I've never done before. That, he says, is pitomit. That's one kind of tshuva. That's an appropriate kind of tshuva. It's a tshuva that we should be looking for those opportunities as well. We learn something, we experience something, we come in contact with something, and that inspires us. That's pitom. But then there's another kind of tshuva. And by the way, I think often when we think about tshuva, and especially this time of tshuva, we think about tshuva in that category, that first category. Right? Some kind of major change that I have to make in my life, and I try to do it, I don't always do it, and that's what tshuva is all about. But there's another kind of tshuva as well. And I think this kind of tshuva maybe speaks to me, and hopefully to all of us here, and that is tshuva hadragit. And what is tshuva hadragit? That means little by little, incremental tshuva. That we are making our way, that we are progressing, that we are increasing, that we are doing more in terms of our avodat Hashem. So when it comes to our davening, we're all davening, but that we want to daven a little bit better as the years go by. We give tzedakah, we want to give more tzedakah if we can. We do chesed, we want to add to our repertoire of chesed. That's hadragit, that little by little, and Rav Kook says, we need to see that, we need to appreciate that, we should feel joy for that tshuva as well. It's not only major changes in life, but the little changes, the step-by-step, incremental tshuva. There's a line in Rav Kook where Rav Kook says that when we think about tshuva, we often think about all the bad things that we've done in the previous year, all the mistakes that we've made, and all the things that we need to correct. I think that's generally how we think about tshuva, but Rav Kook says there's another kind of tshuva, and that is to think about all the good things that we've done this past year and how to make those good things even better. How to make all the good, by the way, that's very positive, right? We're not talking about mistakes, we're not talking about averot, sins, right? We're talking about, just think about all the good things you've done this past year. And now the question is, in Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, how can I increase, right? How can I add to that? How can I make those good things even better? The davening that I'm doing, the tzedakah that I'm giving, the bein adam lechavero, the kindness that I share with others, how to increase that? How to make that even better in the coming year? So that's what he calls the tshuva hadragit. So that's lesson number one, tshuva pitamit, tshuva hadragit. We need both of them in our lives, says Rav Kook, and they should both be inspirational to us. I was a rabbi of a shul in Mount Kisco, New York. Anybody know where that is? It's in. I didn't know where it was until I went for the interview, and I had a fact that never heard of Mount Kisco. It's in Upper Westchester. It's about 45, 50 minutes from Manhattan. It's a very beautiful, very nice community next to Bedford and Katona, all these like very beautiful places in Upper Westchester. That's where I was a rabbi. And a member of my shul was Steve Reich. I don't know if you know that name. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner, very interesting fellow. There was another fellow in the shul also. He was on a television show, which is one of the longest television shows on record. And I'm not going to mention his name, very famous individual who was also a member of my shul. And all the years that I was a rabbi with him, I said that you have to come with me to Israel. Now, this is a man that traveled the world. He saw the entire world, a very wealthy man. And I would ask him again and again, and we'd have trips to Israel, to come to Israel. And he never wanted to join the trip, and he's never seen Israel. He's never come to Israel in his lifetime. And I sort of wonder, like, why this individual who's seen it all and seen every country, why has he not come to Israel? And this is my take on it, and really based on this idea of Rav Kook, and that is what's called tshuva pitomit, which means that you're going to see something, experience something, and it's really going to awaken something in you, and it may change your life. And he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to come to Israel. He had that much in him, right? He is a very spiritual person. And coming to Israel would mean that he would have to kind of face that and to see it in a way. And I'll see every other country, and I'm a Jew, but somehow I'm going to keep my distance from that tshuva pitamit. So that's the first idea of Rav Kook. Second idea of Rav Kook, and here, for those that have the source sheet, and again, I apologize that we don't have enough, this is Orot HaTshuva. By the way, the first piece is the second teaching of Rav Kook in Orot HaTshuva. The next piece is from Perek Zion, and it's a Piska, the third piece, Gimel, Zion Gimel. And here he talks about another aspect of Tshuva, and that's what's called Hirhurei Tshuva, and I'm sure that's a term that you're familiar with. Hirhurei Tshuva means just the very thought of Tshuva alone. This is the top of page 2, and there's a Gimel on the top of the page as well. And I'll read to you, Al Hirhurei Tshuva Shamei Adam Kol Hashem. When a person just has the very thought, you haven't done anything yet, you haven't done any action, you haven't made any change in your life, but what have you done? You're just thinking about it. There's a thought of tshuva, a thought that you want to be better, something that you want to change, something that you want to correct, in some way that you want to enhance your life. You're hearing the voice of God, says Rav Kook, Hakarei lav mitoch haTorah, that's calling to you from the Torah, umitoch kol rikshei lev, and you're feeling it from your heart, from the emotions of your heart, mitoch haolam umlo'o v'chol asher bam. You're hearing a voice that's emanating in the world. There's tshuva in the world. And here he says something, this line is important, and that is with that very thought of tshuva, and why it's so important, is because that's the beginning of the process. And Rav Kook says, if you begin to think about tshuva, there is a chance, and he believes, Rav Kook believes, that there's a good chance that you're going to do something, that you're going to bring something better to your life. And here, this line I find fascinating in Rav Kook. V'habasar be'atzmo hagorem et acheto lechu mitaden. He says, even the body, even your skin, becomes even more refined or more beautiful. Holechu mitaden. Ad she'or atshuva choderbo. And what does he mean? What is Rav Kook alluding to? The idea that when spiritually we make a change, it affects our physical body as well. Right, that synthesis between soul, between spirit and body. And he says, when you're feeling good about tshuva, that also has an effect on the body as well, physically as well. And is it true? So even Hirhurei Tshuva, and here we have again the optimism of Rav Kook, Hirhurei Tshuva, just to appreciate that, how important that is, how significant that is, in terms of the process of tshuva. And as I mentioned before, we go now to the next piece. This is Hey Aleph, again, page 2, the second paragraph in Hebrew on the page, from Perek Hey Aleph, we're reading now from Orot HaTshuva. And again, often we think about tshuva, the harshness of tshuva. We think about that it's the demands of tshuva. I was listening to a shiur the other day, again, just classic, you know, the classic way to speak about tshuva, where you have the Yetzirah, and we have to deal with the Yetzirah. We have to go to battle against the Yetzirah, right? How many people here are interested in going to battle? Right? Unfortunately, we're in a war and a battle. So to say, well, we want everyone now to enter the battle with the Yetzirah. How many people are on board with that? Okay, maybe it worked. Rav Kook says that's not the way. That's not going to inspire people. It's not the way that people are going to come to tshuva. We have to think, and especially he believed for this generation, we need to think about it in healthy terms, in positive terms. And look at this. I think this is one of the classic lines of Rav Kook, teachings from Orot HaTshuva. HaTshuva hi ha-hargasha ha-yoter bri'ah shel ha-nefesh. It's the healthiest feeling. It's the most joyous feeling that a person has when they are engaged in tshuva. You're going to feel most healthy. You're going to feel most optimistic and joyous in the process of tshuva. And I think we do, if we think about it, when we're changing, when we're doing the right thing, when we're finding success, when we're living a more spiritual life, a more elevated life, we feel good about that. So tshuva is not harsh, it's not heavy. Tshuva is the most wonderful feeling. Again, the words of Rav Kook, tshuva hi ahargasha hayoter bri'ah shel, it's the healthiest feel. You want to feel healthy? So do tshuva, says Rav Kook, neshama bri'ah. And here, this is unique to Rav Kook. I'm not sure if you'll find this in other writings, and this is one of the classic teachings of Rav Kook. Look at what he writes, Neshama Briah, a healthy soul, Beguf Bari, in a healthy body. Rav Kook believed in the importance of the healthy body as well. It was something that Jews did not talk about for a long time in the Galut, in the exile. Rav Kook said that was thinking of the exile. That was the kind of, we were lacking something in the exile because we have forgotten in the exile how important it is for the body to be healthy as well. And he writes about in his classic work, Orot, the importance of exercise, of healthy eating, of keeping yourself healthy, that one should be healthy. And he says that combination of a healthy soul and healthy body, that's the ultimate in tshuva. So I think he would recommend Elul is a time to walk a little bit more, to exercise a little bit more. And we know today, this he's writing, when does he write this? This is 1910 that he's writing. Nobody's talking about this idea. Rav Kook is way ahead of his time. And we know this today. It's not a chiddush today to say this, right? The health of the body and what exercise does for us in terms of our mind, in terms of our mental health, how important that is, how critical that is. So Rav Kook writes that and wrote Hatshuva over 100 years ago. So again, Hatshuva hi hargasha yoter b'riya shel nefesh, neshama b'riya beguf bari muchrachat hi lavo lidei ha'osher hagadol shel Hatshuva. That brings the greatest joy of Tshuva v'hi margeshet ba'ata oneg ha'tivi ha'yoter gadol. It's the most natural. We all want to get back to nature and that which is natural. It's the most natural feeling. It's connecting to what is most natural to us, to do the right thing, to be connected to Hashem, to be good to others, to be caring of others. These are the things that are most natural to us. It's when we get off course, when we get off track, that we're not doing those things. If you're back on track, if you're doing those things which are spiritual and good, there's nothing that feels healthier and better for the body and the mind. I never heard of tshuva that way growing up. I never really heard anybody talk about tshuva in those terms, using that language. That now, okay, now I want Elul, now I want Rosh Hashanah, I want Yom Kippur, if that's what I'm going to gain in this experience. Okay, beautiful. And here, Rav Kook, in the next piece, Yud Dalid, Yud Aleph. This is from Orot HaTshuva, Yud Dalid, Yud Aleph. And here he talks about, we just highlighted the idea of how natural tshuva is and the oneg of tshuva and the flip side. And the flip side meaning the side that we need to be weary of, that we need to keep our distance. And he writes the following. Me rayanot, right in the middle of the page for those that have the source sheet. Me rayanot ka'ela shel kedusha v'shel tshuva. These ideas of holiness and tshuva that we've been speaking about. Shehem mevi'im lidei atzvut. If it brings melancholy, if when you're thinking about tshuva, if you're engaged in tshuva, and somehow that is bringing a certain sadness or depression to your life, tzrichim lehitrachek lepamim. That there are times you must move away. You must be distant from that. Ki yisod hasimcha, because the foundation of joy, hakshura ba'omek hakodesh, which is found in the depth of holiness, hu gadol. That is great. That's the greatest. Mikol tochen shel kedusha v'shel tshuva acheret. There's nothing better and there's nothing more important than joy in our lives in general. And when it comes to tshuva, the tshuva is only going to work. And again, I think Rav Kook is very sensitive to his time. He's writing this 100 years ago, but I believe it's even more true today. Rav Kook says, if there isn't simcha, if it's not with joy, you're not going to be drawn to tshuva. It's interesting, I came across a story a few weeks ago. I was reading Rav Shimon Schwab. You know that name? He was the Rav of the Breuer's community, Washington Heights. So he tells a story. It's in a collection of stories and teachings of Rav Schwab, where he comes to shul, and he notices over time that his son is coming late to shul. And it really is, it's not easy for him to see this, that his son is always walking in late every morning, and Shabbos morning, that his son, here's the rabbi of the shul. I was a rabbi of the shul. I know what it's like when rabbi's children are not behaving. It's not easy for the rabbi. So his son is coming in late. And so every day after davening, he says to his son, you know, this is not beseder. This is not something that you should continue doing. And his son sees that he's really very unhappy. And at some point, he says the following to him. He says that I have a diary. He started writing a diary later in life every single day. And the goals that he had, very beautiful diary that he writes, that he keeps a diary. But he says to his son that I want you to know, not only am I upset with you, but I'm going to write this in the diary that you're coming late. And that this is something that our family will read till the end of time. And that was the end of the story. In other words, or the end of the story was how his son then started coming to shul. But I read that story and I wondered to myself, is that going to be effective for most people? Now, in his home and with his children, it worked. It was effective. But I'm not sure if that would be effective for many of us and for the world that we live in today. And that's what Rav Kook is alluding to as well. If there's atzvut, if there's sadness, if there's a depression around it, if it's harsh, that's a tshuva that we should distance ourselves from. It's not going to work. And he writes, continuing, Alkein kasher ba'od lo machshavot shel yirah v'shel tshuva b'derech itzavon. If we're thinking about the awe of God, and we're thinking about tshuva in a way that's itzavon, itzavon, that there's sadness with that tshuva, yasiach dato mehem. You should remove yourself from those thoughts, ad shetitkonen b'achshavato, until you get your straight thinking back on. Rav Kook says there cannot be any sadness around tshuva thinking. It's just simply not going to be effective. Yikabel alav kol tochen shel kedusha, accept upon yourself the very essence of holiness, v'shel yirat shamayim, b'derech chedva v'simcha. It has to be with a lot of joy. Chedva v'simcha. Has to be with a great amount of joy. That's how we should be thinking about tshuva. We want to change. We want to daven better. The joy that brings us, the tzedakah that we're giving, that we're improving ourselves, that we're doing a tikkun, that we're bringing greater success, spiritual success to our life. That's something that, think about it in those terms. Rav Kook says we have to think about it in joyous terms. If it's, we have enough anxiety and tension in our lives, right? We don't need any more. We don't need tshuva telling us to have more anxiety and tension. So we're going to stay away from that. And again, especially today, and amazing to me how contemporary Rav Kook is. Yes, next piece, the last piece on page two. This is taken from Yud Dalid, Perek Yud Dalid, and the piece is Lamed Vav. Interesting that it's Lamed Vav because it's a piece about being a tzaddik. So I don't think, yeah, maybe it's not coincidence that it's placed in piece Lamed Vav. So he says the following. This is an interesting teaching. Rav Kook writes, "Kesheadam rotze liyot davkat tzaddik gamor." If a person wants to be a tzaddik gamor, what's a tzaddik gamor? Tzaddik gamor is a complete, an absolute, a full-fledged tzaddik. Kashelo liyot bal tshuva. It's going to be difficult to be a bal tshuva. Okay, what does that mean? Let's read on. Al kein ra'ui lo le'adam. It's appropriate for a person shetamid yasim elibo et hashi'ifa liyot bal tshuva. A person should always have in mind a desire to be a bal tshuva. Shakua b'ra'yona tshuva. A person should be embedded, entrenched in this idea of always wanting to improve, to change. The shoef lehit gashmuta hamasit, and you have this desire for to be able to fulfill, to actualize this in reality. Va'az tuchal tshuvato la'rimo tolamala. Then this tshuva will bring you to a high place. An midat tzaddik in gemurim. Then you can reach what it means to be a tzaddik gamur ulamala mizan, even higher. So the way that I understand this piece is the following. You know, a tzaddik gamur means a full tzaddik. But a tzaddik gamor also has the connotation gamor, like ligmor. What does ligmor mean? Finished. That I'm done, right? I'm done. I'm finished. In other words, I have found my place in my spiritual, my Jewish life, in my religious life, right? That's who I am, right? I've reached that spot and I'm very comfortable with it, right? This is the amount of learning I do. This is what I do for prayer. This is what I do for tzedakah. This is my chesed. This is the shul that I go to. This is my chevra. There's something good about that, that's positive. But tzaddik gamor also has a danger. If you're going to be the tzaddik gamor, so there's something that's lacking. And that is, Rav Kook says, you have to always think of yourself as being a bal tshuva. We always have to think of ourselves as being balei tshuva. Now again, we're quick to point out, oh, I know this fellow, he's a bal tshuva, that guy in the back of the shul, he's the bal tshuva. No, Rav Kook says we should think of ourselves as balei tshuva. That we're always looking for opportunities for growth. And to be open to that, it's not always easy to do that, by the way. Right? We become very comfortable and we're a little bit, maybe even scared a bit to kind of open up to something else that we haven't studied, or to hear a speaker or a certain position, a perspective that we haven't heard before. We want to stay comfortable in our, you know, in our box, in our communities. Rav Kook says we have to be open as well and never to be satisfied, fully satisfied where we are religiously, and to think of ourselves as a beautiful idea that all of us to be balei tshuva. Okay, we turn now to our final page, and this says page 3 on the top. And he writes the following, and this I think is also a very, very, very contemporary idea that Rav Kook is touching on. And he writes about the importance of a person, of every individual, being in touch with themselves. And there is very often in life, and I think it's even truer today than before, we're very much influenced by the world around us. We're influenced by, I don't know if this is, if this audience is an audience that's on social media, on Facebook, a world of Facebook and TikTok, all these things that we're constantly seeing other people's lives and other people's successes and our comparison with others. Rav Kook says, stop thinking about everybody else and to be more in touch with yourself, with your neshama, with your needs, with your desires, with your dreams. And that brings a person, that's tshuva. Let's read the words of Rav Kook here. Kesheshochachim et mahut ha-neshama ha-atzmit. When we forget about our own neshama, when we're not in touch with who we are, kishemisichim dea milistakel betochiyut hachayim apanimim shel atzmo, when we're not looking at our inner life, hakol naaseh meurbav umisupak, everything becomes confused and in doubt. Hatshuva hareshit, the very beginning of tshuva, shehimeira et hamachashakim miyad, a tshuva that brings light to darkness, he shiashuv haadam el atzmo. This is one of the great teachings of Rav Kook around tshuva. What does the word tshuva mean? Everybody here knows tshuva means return. But what does return mean? Most say tshuva means return to God, right? That's tshuva, return to Hashem, return to mitzvah, return to Torah, return to Am Yisrael. Rav Kook says there's another tshuva, and meaning of the word tshuva is returning to yourself, right? Hu hi shiashuv ha'adam el atzmo. To return to oneself. And again, to kind of to put aside, to block out, right, everybody else, this one, okay, this one lives their life this way, the success of this person in that field, but what is it that I need? What is it that are my dreams? What is it that I want to attain, accomplish? And that is part of tshuva as well. Hu sheyashuv adam el atzmo el shoresh nishmato, the very essence of one's soul, miyad yashuv el elokim. That is a way, says Rav Kook, to return to God. El nishmat kol ha-neshamot, v'yelech v'yitzar hala mala mala. A person in that sense will move upward, b'kdusha v'tara. I think it also means that a person has a healthy sense of self-confidence as well. And one of the things, and one of the great, this is Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Abraham, Dr. Twersky. He's well known for writing many books. He wrote 60, 70 books in his lifetime, an awesome individual. Rabbi, spiritual personality, and he said that every single book that he wrote was the same book. You've heard that? He said, I just have different stories, just a different way of saying it. They're all just one teaching, and he says it's all about low self-esteem, that we don't have enough confidence in ourselves, and all the comparison that we're doing with others, and the judgment that we're making on it. He says, put all of that aside, and Rav Kook is saying that as well. To have confidence in oneself, to look inside oneself, and to connect with Hashem, and to grow from there. So that is the top teaching of page 3. We go now to the second teaching on our final page, Yud Dalet Lamed Bet. This is from, again, the 14th chapter, 33. When is the right time to do tshuva? Now, we all know that we're in the days right now. This is an auspicious time of tshuva, the days of Elul. As we come to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that is a time of tshuva. Every single day is a time of tshuva as well. Slach lanu avinu in every Amidah, that we're asking Hashem, Hashivenu, Hashem Eilecha, v'nashuva, that we're asking Hashem for tshuva. There's never a dull moment when it comes to tshuva. There's always great opportunities for tshuva. But Rav Kook highlights, and I think this is an interesting idea, which I also have not seen in other writings, two particular times every week that are most appropriate for tshuva. And this is what he writes. The Erev Shabbat, as Shabbat is coming in, as Shabbat is entering, tzrichim la'asok b'tshuva. It's a time to engage in tshuva al kol ha'avar b'imot ha'chol, everything that transpired in the past week. Really a very beautiful idea. I don't know if I've ever done this in my life, but Rav Kook says the Shabbos is entering, lighting the candles for Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos, davening for Shabbos as the sun is setting. Shabbos, it's a time of tshuva. It's a time to look back at the previous week and to think about that past week, to think about how to move forward from that, anything that maybe didn't go right in the past week, at that moment to take that in, to realize that, and to bring in Shabbos with a purity, an act of tshuva. There's a beautiful story that's told of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. This is a story that Shlomo Karbach, that he told of an elderly man who met a woman who worked in the kitchen of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. So he had, this is a great Hasidic Rebbe, great Hasidic master, Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, and he would host a lot of people. He had a whole kitchen staff. He had hundreds of people. You have people like that today, people that host hundreds of people on Shabbos. So this is a woman as a child that worked in the kitchen. And so this man who met this, now she was a very elderly woman, asked her, is there anything that you remember, that you recall, maybe a Dvar Torah, something that, you know, to hear firsthand what Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, what he said or a teaching that he had. So she said, I don't remember, you know, any teaching. I don't remember, again, I was in the kitchen. I basically was working there. But I do remember the following, and that is every Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat, the Rebbe, Rav Elimelech, would come into the kitchen. He would bring all the staff around him, and he would say to them, if there's anything that I did to hurt your feelings this past week, I'm asking for mechila. I'm asking for forgiveness. I can't bring in Shabbos if I've done something wrong to somebody else. An Erev Shabbos tshuva. And then she said the following, that he would do the same with his family. They would look out from the kitchen. He would bring his family, his wife, and his children together right before Shabbos, and he would say to them, turn to each one and say, if I did anything to you this past week, if I raised my voice, if I did anything to offend you, my dear wife, my sweet children, I'm asking forgiveness. And he would do this every week right before Shabbos. So it's interesting, Rav Kook writes that time right before Shabbos is a time of tshuva as well. The Erev Shabbat Kodesh, Tzrichim La'asok B'tshuva, Al Kol Ha'avar B'Yemot Achol, Kidei L'Kabel Kedushat Shabbat B'lo Shum Miniyah. There shouldn't be anything that restrains us from feeling and bringing in the holiness of Shabbos, Mikol Davar Chet V'Avon. And now he says something else. What's the other time that's unique to tshuva? And again, I'm not sure, I don't think I've really have ever done this in my lifetime. But he says, "V'motzei Shabbat Kodesh," and when Shabbos comes to a close, it's another very special time of tshuva, tzrichim lashuv b'tshuva, ala tochan shel he'erat Shabbat, that you now have the light, what he calls the light of Shabbos, the beauty of Shabbos that you've now taken in, to bring that into the week, to take, and there is a tshuva on Shabbat. A lot of the Hasidic rabbis say that the word Shabbat is like the word tshuva, the same letters, that is a time of tshuva. It's a time of return as well. And we're uplifted by Shabbos. We feel a holiness on Shabbos. I know when I see people on Shabbos, they look different than the rest of the week. You know, they look a little bit nicer. They're glowing. And we wish good Shabbos to people on a street here. You could just walk by and you don't lift your head. On Shabbos, hopefully everybody is seeing the best in others to bring that holiness into the week. So Rav Kook says, as Shabbos comes to a close at Abdullah, maybe it's at Malava Malka, those few minutes to think about tshuva as well. And it says, that's Shabbat Kodesh, Shrichim Lashuv B'tshuva, El Tochen Helrat HaShabbat, Shihei Naki B'lo Shum Ta'arovet, that you bring that holiness into the coming week. Okay. I'm going to skip the next one, and we're going to go now to the last two on the page. Page 3, the final two. And we cannot talk about Rav Kook unless we speak about Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Kook says that there's a unique tshuva in the land of Israel. By the way, I'll just share a story. This Rav Herschel Schachter told this story not long ago. There was a Rav Kook, I think for many of us, if I were to ask you, what do you know about Rav Kook? What is he famous for? Famous for his love of Eretz Yisrael. So there was a particular individual that came to Rav Kook, and he said to Rav Kook, I see that you're always talking about Israel, and everything that you're writing, it's always coming back to Israel. Like, what is your obsession with Israel, Israel, Israel? So he said, you know what? You're right. I am obsessed with Eretz Yisrael, with the land of Israel, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. But he said, I open up a Chumash, and I see that Hashem is talking about Israel, about Avraham Avinu and the forefathers and the mothers being promised the land of Israel, going down to Egypt, to Mitzrayim, to bring them to the land of Israel, all of the halachot of the land of Israel, of Moshe Rabbeinu praying to come to the land of Israel from the very beginning of the book to the end of the book. Hashem is talking about Israel. He just keeps talking about Israel. So Rav Kook said, I'm in good company. I think I'm in good company. Hashem is talking about Israel all the time. I also want to talk about Israel all the time. So Rav Kook does talk about Israel all the time, and he talks about how mitzvot are different in the land of Israel, that it's not the same mitzvah outside the land of Israel. It's interesting, Rav Avigdor Nevensal, who is the chief rabbi of the Old City, so he would visit America here and there for fundraising, whatever it may be, and he said, if there's any mitzvah that I can wait to perform in Israel, I will not do it outside the land of Israel. Like Kiddush Levana, for example, he would wait. You could do Kiddush Levana. He was in a shul. He wouldn't say it there. He would say it when he would come back to the land of Israel. Putting on tefillin, he would put on tefillin on the plane when it was Shacharis, but when he landed, he put on tefillin a second time. And he said, that tefillin that I put on outside the land of Israel is not the full-fledged mitzvah. It's a partial mitzvah, any mitzvah that's done outside the land of Israel. And I need to put on tefillin a second time when I get back to the land of Israel. Okay, so what does Rav Kook say about the tshuva of the land of Israel? And here we have the second to last passage from Orot HaTshuva. This is Yud Zayin Aleph. It's the last chapter, the 17th chapter, where he begins to speak about the uniqueness of tshuva in the land of Israel. Tichiyat HaUma, the revival of the nation of Israel, Hi HaYisod, it's the very foundation, Shel Binyan HaTshuva HaGdola. There's a great tshuva that happens, and that is happening with the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel. Now, by the way, I would interpret this, first of all, in the following way, and we happen to be discussing this earlier just outside the class, and that is, I believe that everybody here who has come to the land of Israel, that is an act of tshuva. For you to leave, and for me, and for all of us, to leave what we had in outside of the land of Israel, and the sacrifice, the commitment, the idealism, what it meant to come to the land of Israel, means that we've come out of a love of Hashem, a love of the Torah. That is an act of tshuva. The return of the Jewish people coming to the land of Israel, that in itself is a movement of tshuva. That is engaging in tshuva. We didn't come here to make more money, right? We didn't come here for life to be easier than it was outside of the land of Israel. We came here out of idealism. We came here out of commitment. We came here out of love for Hashem and the land of Israel. That, Rav Kook says, is tshuva. That's a great tshuva. And Jews that are returning to the land of Israel, by the way, when he wrote this, 1910, 1900, how many Jews are living in the land of Israel? Anybody know? 1900, when he writes this line, how many Jews are living in the land of Israel? Take a guess. 50,000, yeah. There's about 70,000, somewhere in that number. 70, do you know how small that is? 50, 60, 70,000 Jews living in the land of Israel. When he writes this, 7 million Jews are living here today. So he writes, this revival of the nation of Israel coming back to life in the land of Israel, that is tshuva. There's an amazing tshuva. There's tshuva, there's the tshuva that of the details of the Torah, like, okay, I'm not getting up to davening on time, and I'm not making my brachos with enough kavana. And there's that kind of tshuva, but then there's a national tshuva of the nation, and that Rav Kook speaks about as well, which very few spoke about. Not only the individual, but as a nation as a whole. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we are accomplishing as a nation, coming back to the land of Israel. Tchiyat HaOmah Yasod Shel Binyan HaTshuva Gdola. There's a great tshuva that is unfolding in the land of Israel, says Rav Kook, Tshuvat Yisrael HaElyona. This is an elevated tshuva of the Jewish people, Utshuvat HaOlam Kulo, and a great tshuva for the world, Shetavo Achara. There's going to be a great tshuva that's going to be inspired by the land of Israel. The war that we are in right now, this battle that we're in Gaza, and with our enemies, unfortunately, In this war, we are proclaiming to the world what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. We are a light to the nations. As it says in the prophecy, that we will be from this place, Ki Mitzion, from this place will come Torah, will come a light, will come a message to the world of tshuva. Rav Kook is writing that here. Not only is there a tshuva of the Jewish people coming back to the land of Israel, but when we're back in the land of Israel, when we're a great nation, the land of Israel, we can now bring that message of tshuva to the world. And that's what we're engaged in right now. Not only the physical war, the battle, right, that we're engaged in, but engaging in bringing a message of right and wrong, of what is good, what is holy to the world. And that's not an easy battle either. But we're engaged in that. And Rav Kook says, with the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, that's tshuva as well. Again, there's the details, all those, the examples of tshuva that we think about in our life. But then there's a tshuva of Am Yisrael, and then there's a tshuva for the entire world. And that's also that's the great vision of tshuva as well that Rav Kook is speaking about. And Baruch Hashem, those that are living in the land of Israel, we're all part of that and have the merit to be a part of the tshuva hagedolah, a tshuva haolam kulo shetavo acharav. Okay, and let me conclude with the following. And this is actually interesting to conclude with this because this is the very beginning of the Sefer, the very beginning of Orot HaTshuva. And I mentioned it earlier, the Hagdama, what he writes, a few paragraphs as an introduction to his book. And he writes the following, Zeh kama ani nilcham milchama panimit. He said, I have an inner struggle. This is the very last source on page 3, and it's taken from the Peticha, the Hagdama to Orot HaTshuva, the forward or the opening. V'ruach hazacha dochevet oti, but there's a strong spirit that is pushing me, l'daber al tevar hatshuva. V'chol ra'ayonotai rak bahem merukazim. And I'm thinking all of my thoughts are really around tshuva. So he says, and I mentioned this earlier, he really struggled with he questioned himself, am I the one to write a book about tshuva? You have the Rambam, you have Rabbeinu Yonah, you have the greatest of greats that have written about tshuva. Who am I to write about tshuva? That's what he writes, milchama penimit, that I'm really struggling if I should be writing this book. But he says, you know what? I'm always thinking about tshuva, and I think I have something to share about tshuva that maybe has not been said before. And then he writes the following, and we'll conclude with this, ha-tshuva hi tofeset et ha-chelek ha-yoter gadol ba-Torah u-b'chayim. Tshuva, the place of tshuva, is the major part, is the very essence of the Torah and of life. Now that's an interesting line, that the very essence of Torah, the major part of Torah, is tshuva. Now when I think about Torah, I think, well, where's tshuva? Like, which pasuk is that, you know, of tshuva? But Rav Kook says, you know what? All of Torah is really about tshuva, because what is tshuva? Tshuva is about growth. Tshuva is about living life in the most meaningful way. Tshuva is about our relationship with Hashem. It's about growing in that relationship. That's what the Torah is about. That's what all the mitzvot are about. That's the very essence of the Torah, is our relationship, is our growth, is our spiritual success, is the contribution that we're making as individuals, the contribution that we're making as a nation to the world. This is what life is all about. That's what he says. This is what life is all about, and this is what Torah is all about. And I'm always, Rav Kook says, I'm always thinking about this, and I need to share this. I need to share this in the book, Orot HaTshuva. So I think some of these ideas are, hopefully, are inspirational ideas. I know they're inspirational to me. It's a book, Rav Kook wrote this book, Orot HaTshuva, and he said that his custom was in Elul and through Yom Kippur, that he would study his own work every day, that he would read a little bit. He wrote it, but he came back to study the book after davening every day, that he would study this work. The book is available. I'm not selling it. But the book is available in Hebrew. It's been translated. There are a number of translations as well. One of the great ideas, as I open with, is the idea of simcha, of joy, that we should feel the joy of these days. Again, we have great challenges around us. But in terms of our tshuva, in terms of our return, to see the great potential, to see the great potential within us, to see the great strides that the Jewish people have made, and that we're part of that. We're part of that, that we're here in Israel, that we're building this great country, this great people. Hashem should have rachamim. This is the time of rachamim. Hashem should have mercy on Am Yisrael. Our soldiers should be well. Our hostages should come home. And we pray for peace for Am Yisrael and the entire world. Amen. Wish everyone a good day. Nice to be together. And we, Bezrat Hashem, we're back at this time, same place, weekly. Each week we're going to be studying the wisdom of Rav Kook on a whole selection of topics. Shalom Aleichem.
First time I've had an opportunity to hear you.
Thank you. What's your name?
Alan Sess, which is part-time here in Los Angeles.
Good, that's great. Bring the good words to Los Angeles.
My wife.
Good.
Thank you.
My pleasure. You learned this on Baltimore? On phone? On Zoom or on just by phone? Wow, okay. We haven't changed it. I've changed more. Sorry for the afternoon. Not at all, not at all. I'm overdressed for Israel. We're in it? You're just in? Yeah. Where you live? Hopefully there's an inspiration for your year being in here tonight.
It's good. It's
Wow.